If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
GTR listeners, the official Gamertag Radio store is now open on TeePublic. Go to store.gamertagradio.com. That's store.gamertagradio.com. Represent us. You could buy t-shirts, hoodies, mugs, posters, stickers, and much, much more. We are planning to add more designs coming very soon to the store, but as of right now, we have a couple of designs available now, like I Love Gaming, and the GTR Gamertag Radio logo and so on. It's pretty cool. So go right now to store.gamertagradio.com. That's store.gamertagradio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 772, and we're back once again. We took some time off, after uploading 55 episodes during E3, I was just exhausted. I didn't want to see the mic. I didn't want to talk about games for a while. I just needed a very serious break, man. And yeah, I'm here. This is your host, Danny, and joining me, the co-host of the show. Let's start with Pete. What's going on, Pete?
Top of the morning to you.
Yeah, man. How's everything?
Doing well.
How's your voice? Because you also were...
The voice was fine.
Yeah?
Yeah, surprisingly, the voice was fine. You know, I had a good time. The legs are doing good, you know, a week after the show. I'm able to get, you know, I don't have the post-E3 soreness in the calves and hamstrings. I'm good.
Yeah.
Good week.
Yeah. And also joining us is Paris, co-host of the show. What's up, Paris?
Hey, good morning. How's everyone doing?
Good, man. Yo, let me tell you, man, that video reaction is still going around, man.
Yeah, I'm internet famous now.
Yeah. I even had to shut down a couple of videos on YouTube that they basically snatched my video from Twitter, put it on YouTube, didn't even give us credit. I'm like, oh, okay, you're gonna play games? We're going to play games. And I had to shut them down. But yeah, everything is good, man. How's everything ever since E3, man?
No, it's been good. Obviously, sucks that I couldn't be a part of E3 as much as I wanted it to be. We obviously knew this going in, so it wasn't a surprise. Next year we won't have that problem. But I'm loving a lot of the content and reactions that have been coming out from E3. And not just us, just, you know, from everyone. And special shout out, you know, to our brothers and sister over at Spawn on Me. Only got to see Tanya. When I was at E3, I did not see Cicero or Khalif, which sucked, which is crazy, you know, that I didn't get to see them. But I got to see a lot of people when I was there. And then obviously, like you said, that video reaction from Cyberpunk just went viral and went everywhere. And even CD Projekt Red themselves tweeted at me and said that everyone that was on the team that was at E3, they all watched the vid. They loved it and all that stuff. So that was just freaking crazy, man.
It was funny, yeah. But during the actual interview that we're doing, or I think it was during or right before the interview, we showed the video to what's his name? Actually, I have his card here. Patrick Mills, the Quest designer. He's like, yeah, man, we've been watching the video all morning. That thing's amazing.
That's dope.
But, you know, that's, and I know I might as well just keep talking about it. But again, what I said in that video is true. Now that the dust has settled and I've watched the trailer probably 10 million times and really think about what we saw in that demo, it is Blade Runner, Ghost in the Shell, Cowboy Bebop. You know, it is the open world realization of Deus Ex. You know, it's all these things wrapped in one.
Yeah,
because you mentioned that somewhere else I heard you say that. Yeah, that goes into it as well. It's all these genres just mashed together into this game. And remember, I even put in the chat yesterday because, God, where did I see it? Oh, it was IGN did a video where they kind of broke stuff down and they showed where the demo happened on the Metro map that you see in the trailer. Yeah. And when you look at the scale, you're like, oh my God, the city is huge. Not to mention, it's also vertical. So not only is it huge area wise, it's vertical as well. So there's going to be, oh my God, I can talk about this game for the next year and a half until it comes out. But man, just, I'm so excited. So excited for this thing to be finally realized and to be a reality and to have a mouse and keyboard in my hand and play it, man. I can't wait.
Yeah. Can't wait too, man. Can't wait. Woo. All right, head over to gamertagradio.com, post your comments and feedback. Also share our episodes to your friends and family. Just spread the word about GTR. It's going to help us out big time. Also, you can check us out, subscribe, download the show, go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. Also, shout out to Apple Podcasts. Shout out to the whole team over there. It was really nice of them for putting us on the front page of Apple Podcasts during the week of E3, and also gave us a shout out on Twitter. You know, they've done that in the past. They haven't done that in a very long time. So it was cool to see that support. And also ESA E3 Twitter account, they also been retweeting our content everywhere. So that was really, really cool, man. So thanks for the support. What else? Oh, shout out to Wayne. That was cool having Wayne joining us during E3. You know, he was the one that was filming everything, all our interviews. By the way, I'm going to be uploading more interviews during the week on Twitch. So every night at 8 o'clock, I'm planning to stream a video here. So make sure to come back. But yeah, shout out to Wayne. He was even great, man, on the mic, man. We talked about a couple games too, hands-on impressions and impressions of demo presentation. And we had a great, great conversation with Wayne. So it was cool, man. Shout out to Wayne for all the help.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
But yeah, we're going to talk about a lot of things, probably also a couple of behind-the-scenes stories during E3 because there's a lot of good ones there. But I want to start with this conversation because during E3, besides Cyberpunk and other, you know, the press conferences from Microsoft and all that stuff, the thing that people was talking about the most at E3 while we were waiting in line or, you know, we bump heads and stuff while other people were there, is the whole Fortnite crossplay situation has been going on. I know people have been talking about this for ever since the week of E3, since I think the Nintendo Direct, once they announced it was coming out for the Switch. For those that don't know, if you have, let's say, Fortnite on your account, PlayStation, Xbox, PC, you know, usually those accounts you could connect your account from Epic, right? And you could do crossplay. You could play with your friends on Xbox, PC, mobile phone. Like, I think the first time I played with Paris, I think he was on the PC. I was on an Xbox, and we had voice chat, everything. And I've done that also with my nephews. They're playing on the Xbox. I'll play with my iPad. We still have a voice chat, and I'm still sharing my content everywhere, right? But if you have a PlayStation account, Epic account, right, and you're trying to connect that to the Switch, you can't. Your account basically will get locked and you have to create a new account from scratch. Even if you wasted all this money buying the season pass, right? For months now, you basically screwed. You can't play that anymore. It's like, why Sony's doing this, man. I know I've been having this conversation with Paris, which I'm dying for him to talk about this because we talked a lot about this during and after E3. But it seems like, one, Sony is nervous to promote other consoles because they're number one right now with the sales of the PlayStation 4. Number two is like, and I mentioned this in other recordings, they're getting a little bit too cocky, man, in my opinion, man. You know, I think that the situation is so bad that even I got to see this on the front page of the BBC. They're not a gaming site. Their stocks, PlayStation stocks went down because of this announcement too. It's going around, man. It's not good for Sony, man. Not good for Sony. Epic is really in a tight situation right now with this, man. So, Paris, I know you have a lot of things to say about this, man.
Okay, and I'm going to break the fourth wall for just a second because I feel like this is a great way to kick it off. So in our Twitch chat, and thank you for everyone that watches us on Twitch Live, someone just said, why would they care to promote other consoles? Here's my thing. I really don't care. They don't need to promote anything. I don't care about cross-play. That is not my issue with this at all. So when this announcement went down during E3 that it was on the Switch, my son immediately got excited. And he went, grabbed my Switch. I'm in LA. He's home. Grabbed my Switch, wanted to log in and play, wanted to use his Epic account, and got the specific message that you can't because of the Sony nonsense. And then we kind of ignored it when it was Xbox because it really didn't matter. He'd play on his iPad. He'd play on his PlayStation. It wasn't a big deal. But the Switch has highlighted this as being a problem. And like I said, I don't care about crossplay. I care about having a third-party account, an Epic account, that if I've linked it at any point to PSN, that account is now held hostage from any other platform. I can't use it on Xbox. I can't use it on Switch. That is a major problem because you're not, quote-unquote, for the gamers. You're not for community when you're basically saying, well, because we're number one and we don't feel like, you know, having you take your account and use it on another platform, we're just going to hold it here because any content that you buy or whatever, because I guarantee it comes back to money. And I'm not 100% sure on this, but I'm assuming anything that you buy on your Epic account through PSN, they get a cut. Pretty sure they do, because that's usually how most of these stores work, right? So I guarantee you it comes back to money. They don't want you going on your Switch or on your Xbox and buying a bunch of stuff and then hopping back on PSN later and playing with your friends. I think ultimately that's what it comes down to. It's freaking BS. And I'm not even a big Fortnite player. I'm really not. I'm more pissed because my son, who is a huge Fortnite player, can't just simply pick up the Nintendo Switch or the Xbox or his iPad or whatever and continue to just play with the one third-party account and all his progression carries over. That's my major issue with it. And it's obviously not just us talking about it. I know like Greg Miller over Kind of Funny really highlighted it. And look,
oh, yeah.
He's obviously huge in the PlayStation community. You know, the fact that the BBC and other major publications picked this up during E3, the fact that anytime PlayStation promoted something on social media during E3, go look at the comments. Everything was like, free my Fortnite account, why are you holding my account hostage? Look, Fortnite is going to wind up being the thing that makes Sony relent on this at some point. And to all the people that have come at me on Twitter basically telling me to shut up about it, no, I'm not going to shut up about it because the second we shut up about it is the second Sony doesn't care. You have to talk about this because it is against being a gamer. I really could give two craps what platform I play a game on. I really don't care. Xbox, PlayStation, Coleco, Vectrex, it does not matter. The point is, I just like playing cool games. And Fortnite is a game that has universally brought everyone together. This is the first game, honestly, since Wii Sports that non-gamers care about. Right? This thing has become a phenomenon across the globe. And like, I give you a perfect example. Yesterday we were in Target, you know, me, my son and my wife, and we overheard this girl complaining about her boyfriend who said, oh my God, he told me I'm playing Fortnite. I'll call you back later. And we were dying laughing because it's just a common thing now. Even my wife knows what the hell Fortnite is. So yeah, let's take this opportunity with a game like Fortnite, which is the king right now, where Sony is holding people's account hostage. And let's highlight it. Let's be vocal about it, because at some, look, again, don't care about crossplay. They don't need to allow crossplay. Just allow me to unlink my PSN account and go use it where I want. That's all I want to do. Because right now, if I unlink it, it doesn't matter. It still will not let me use it on Xbox or a Nintendo Switch. So until that happens, I'm going to keep talking about it. And if you follow me on social media and I annoy you because I talk about it, unfollow me. It's really that simple. And I am very passionate about this because we all love gaming and it is a problem. It is an absolute problem. And I guarantee you, if Sony was in second place right now, do what you want. Hey, we're for the gamers. We love everything. But because they're the king, because they're number one, because look, we saw the thing. I mean, they've sold over 70 million PS4s and Xbox hasn't even hit 40 million yet. Because there's that big discrepancy, they can do crap like this. So we as gamers have to be vocal about this and say something, because the second that we stop is the second that Sony does not care and it will continue to monopolize this whole no cross save, cross play stuff and all that. And I'll give this one last example and I'll shut up. A game like Destiny, which obviously you know I love, I would love to see cross saves for that PC, Xbox, all that kind of stuff, so I don't have to grind on another platform. But I do understand why it's not allowed for a game like that, because Sony has exclusive content and you're not going to be able to transfer that over to the PC or the Xbox. And if you were to open it up on the back end, while I'm sure it's possible, it's probably like herding cats, like, okay, well, they can't go to this strike or get this gear and because the exclusive deal. So I understand why that's locked out. But a game like Fortnite, a game like Rocket League, something like Gwent, why? It's not going to hurt you. You're still going to be number one. And at the same time, it's going to promote people to play more games. Because now I can have one account that I can use on whatever platform I have in front of me. And to be quite honest with you, 4 years from now, when all this cloud streaming nonsense on any platform is a realization, this PlayStation Xbox nonsense not going to matter anymore. It really isn't. So I'm done ranting. I'll shut up.
I'm glad you brought up the Rocket League comment, because when this all started, what is it, a year plus ago with Rocket League and Psyonix? Mm-hmm. Sony's posture was exactly the same. We don't want, and it was, I'm paraphrasing, but it was akin to, we do not want our players to go to other ecosystems. So it's absolutely a money play at this point. Aside from the fact that, you know, they're just, like you said, they're on the top. They have no reason. Same reason as they don't need to go and create another PlayStation 5 and release it in the next year or two. They have so many consoles and players, their player base is so huge right now. And when you have a game that's as transcendent as Fortnite, I have an employee of mine who has despised video games, has never played video games in his life. He downloaded Fortnite on Friday night just to see what the hype was all about. You know, so when you see a title that's as transcendent that you can play on your mobile phone, you can play on your console, you can play on your iPad. We've seen Danny do it on multiple platforms here on his Let's Plays on Cafe Con Danny on Wednesdays and Fridays. Thank you very much. It's amazing. And to see Sony basically scoff at everyone and just turn around and say, deal with it. You know, it is what it is. You know, you're just going to have to deal with it, create another account, as opposed to just unlocking it and seeing what truly a connected world could be. It's annoying and it's frustrating. And it truly makes me want to discard my PlayStation or at least not touch it for the time being until they make a change for the better.
Back in the days, and I know Aubrey, she's the PR manager for Minecraft. I know she posted this on, which reminded me, she posted this on Twitter. Back in the days when we used to make phone calls, right? We were kind of worried of who was like your cell phone provider at that time. Because let's say I'm on AT&T, let's just say, and Paris is on T-Mobile. This is like back in the days. If I call Paris knowing that it's not AT&T, I will get charged more money back then because of that. Now in 2018, you could call anybody. Doesn't matter who's your cell phone provider. You still will get the same you'll pay the same. Doesn't matter if it's different companies or not, right? I know iPhone and Android, that's like a big thing, right? Competition stuff. When I play mobile games on my Android device, I play with friends that don't have Android. They have iOS devices, or they have like iPads, different tablets, whatever. And we still could play these games. So I love that Nintendo and Xbox are now saying, man, you know what? Who cares? Crossplay. This is good for gaming. This is good for business because everybody's going to talk about it. And then not worry about the competition. Just do it and promote it. You know, Minecraft is a Microsoft game. They released this on the Nintendo Switch, the new version now, which has crossplay. And they even made a trailer, which Nintendo said, you know what? It's okay. Let's release this on our channel, on all channels from YouTube all over the world, and promote this crossplay because it's going to help our business and it's going to help the community and everything, right? And they're not worried about getting also like Nintendo selling more consoles than Xbox. Like, Xbox doesn't really care about that anymore. They just care about people knowing about their products, the services, and so on. And I think that if Sony continues doing this for the next generation console, it's going to hurt them.
They won't.
After a while, it's going to hurt them. You don't think so? It's not going to hurt them? If they continue like this?
You want to know why?
Why?
Go back to E3. Look at everything that Xbox laid out roadmap-wise on what they plan on doing. It is the worst-kept secret in the world that they're launching that next Xbox in 2020. And they're doing all these great services. They're going to have games that people want to play. Sony's not going to have the huge advantage that they have right now in the next generation. They're not. Competition makes you do things that you don't want to do. So if Xbox is competitive with PlayStation, and obviously we see that Microsoft and Nintendo are slowly but surely starting to partner up on more things. If they start doing more things together, and then here's PlayStation sitting off to the side with their arms crossed going, well, we're not going to do anything. More and more people are going to start going that way just because of the non-competitive nature and stance that PlayStation is taking. So I guarantee you, they're doing this now. They won't be doing this 3 years from now. They won't. They won't, because let another Fortnite come along. Let another phenomenon come along that everyone falls in love with. And Nintendo, Xbox, PC, mobile devices, they're all, hey, bring whatever platform you want, play together, have fun. And Sony's like, nah, we're going to sit it out. We're learning our lesson now. Don't link your account to PSN unless you have no choice, right? So if the next phenomenon comes, I'm just simply not going to link it to PSN and I'll go play it elsewhere. That's really what's going to start happening. So they're doing this now because it's all about the mighty dollar. But when that mighty dollar starts shrinking and they realize that if they want to stay competitive, if they want to keep people playing on their platforms, they need to play nice. They're going to play nice. It's going to happen. Again, the Minecraft news that came out together, the shade that's being thrown by Nintendo and Xbox at PlayStation for doing this, upset gamers that why are you holding my account hostage because I love playing this game and I want to go play it on my Nintendo Switch now and I can't. And like I said, the fact that it came to Switch, and this is what highlighted it really. When it was just Xbox, I kind of just, whatever, okay, fine. It's the fact that I can't use it on the Switch. And the Switch, let's be honest, is becoming the de facto mobile platform or device now as far as console-wise. The fact that you can play all these great console games wherever you want. And now here is the game. And I can't take my account and play it there. I have to create a new account and lose all my progress. That's a problem. That is a big problem. And something's going to happen. I do not think we'll be talking about this even a year from now. I think Sony's going to change their stance sooner rather than later.
Yeah. Let me tell you, when the mainstream picks it up, that's when you panic, man, behind the scenes. All right, we're going to take a short break. And once we come back, we have more roundtable discussion only here on Gamertag Radio. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
So you guys know, I've been at this podcast thing for years now, and you may have met me at E3, met me at Comic-Con, PAX, seen me doing a stream on Twitch, and the one thing you may notice is I'm what we'd like to call follically challenged. And you may be thinking, hey, I'm a little follically challenged myself. Is there anything I can do? Well, here's the thing. There are really only two clinically proven medications that will let you keep the hair that you have. And now there's an inexpensive and easy way to get it. You don't need to lose your hair if you don't want to. And that's why we have Keeps. For 5 minutes now and just a dollar a day, you'll never have to worry about hair loss again. Getting started with Keeps is so easy. Like I said, it only takes 5 minutes. Sign up, answer a few questions, snap some photos, and you'll be on your way. You'll hear from a licensed doctor remotely who reviews your information and recommends the right treatment for you, all without having to leave your couch. Keeps offers generic versions of the only two FDA-approved hair loss products out there. Some of you have probably tried them before, but you've never got them this easy and for this price. Keeps is only $10 to $35 a month, plus now you get your first month free. It's a heck of a deal for getting to keep the hair that you have. There's no reason to put this off any longer. Stop hair loss today the easy way with Keeps. So like I said, get the first month treatment for free. Go to keeps.com/GTR. That's keeps.com/GTR. That's a free month of treatment at keeps.com/GTR. Keeps hair today, keeps hair tomorrow.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Now let's talk about the good stuff about this Nintendo and Microsoft thing. I can see a bright future with this. I see Microsoft porting some old games from the 360 to the Switch. I know they've done this in the past with, I think, the original DS. They were working on a Halo game for the DS. And I know there was journalists that got to see it. Bungie was working on this, on the first Halo. They've done it. They're working on it, but the game got canceled, never came out. I know they released a Viva Pinata for the DS. I know it was a major flop, but Microsoft at that time were experimenting. I see them doing this again, releasing some games from the 360 for the Nintendo Switch. And don't be surprised if those games are also has crossplay where you could play Nintendo Switch owners with Xbox One or Xbox 360 owners. Your thoughts, Paris?
Okay, before I answer it, speaking of throwing shade, so you know Steam is doing their summer sale right now, right? Everyone loves the summer sale. GOG, which is basically the competitor, CD Projekt Red owns it. They just tweeted when you're browsing the summer sale, but you remember all the DRM and it's a GIF of Skeletor.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's messed up.
Oh, my God. That is hilarious.
That's cold.
That is hilarious. But going back to what you're saying, again, I agree. You know, we've been talking about this offline. We're slowly seeing that partnership come together with Nintendo and Microsoft. And if you listen to what Phil Spencer has been saying during E3, they're obviously very open to doing this because their stance is play wherever you want. Microsoft is not saying we need the hardware version of the Xbox to make us, you know, the market leader. Obviously, we see Xbox Play Anywhere. We're starting to see them bring things over to other platforms. Eventually, they're going to do the cloud service where they're just saying, bring whatever device you want to the party and just play our games. That's all they care about. So taking that same philosophy with the Switch, bring some of your old masks, bring a Viva Pinata, bring a Banjo, bring some of these old rare games that are synonymous with Nintendo back to Nintendo, but Microsoft is basically the publisher on that platform. Why does Microsoft care? They're making money. Nintendo's like, hey, we got more people on our platform. Why would they care? You're going to start seeing the stuff happen. And I'm personally all for it. Why not? You know, it just makes sense. Again, like I've been saying on Twitter, it's not 1998 anymore. It's not where everyone's got to be siloed into this one thing and you can't branch out to do other things. So why not have Xbox-owned games on Nintendo Switch? Now, and we've already seen with the partnership with Ubisoft, Nintendo's obviously very open to allowing their mascots to co-mingle with another publisher's mascot, you know, with Rabbit. So we're seeing that stuff slowly come together, and it's obviously been very popular. Nintendo is obviously putting games on a mobile platform. We're seeing the synergy start to happen. So don't be shocked when we have another E3 next year or something and Miyamoto standing there on the Xbox stage, or vice versa, Phil Spencer is at a Nintendo Direct. It's going to happen. It is. Mm-hmm. And as a gamer, see, here's the thing, and I'm going to rant for a second. People need to get over this brand loyalty BS. You really do. Microsoft does not care about you. PlayStation does not care about you. Nintendo does not care about you. The only thing they care about is your wallet and the money that you're giving them. If you think anything else, you are fooling yourself. So as a gamer, just enjoy freaking games. Stop worrying about what platform you're playing them on, because the platform don't care about you as a person. They're not going to call you on the phone and sit up at 2 o'clock in the morning like a teenager and whisper sweet nothings into your ear. They only want your money. That's all they care about. That's true. And as a gamer, all you should care about is them delivering great games, and don't worry about what platform you play them on. I swear to God, I'm 44 years old and I go on Twitter and I see grown adults whipping out the sword and shield, defending PlayStation, defending Xbox and all this other nonsense. It's like, dude, grow up. You're not a kid. You're a grown person. Just enjoy gaming. That's it. That's really it. Yeah. And I know that may sound harsh, and I'm sure people will yell at me later, but it's the truth. And if you don't like it, take a look in the mirror and think about what you're doing with your life. Because if you're sitting there defending the platform, you got issues.
You're the problem.
I hope you're getting paid.
Exactly.
And I hope you're getting paid. That's the other thing.
You ain't getting paid nothing. Not nothing. If anything, you're opening up your wallet, just giving them money. Bottom line. And like I said, I know it sounds harsh and I sound kind of like an a-hole when I'm saying that, but I'm just trying to highlight the point that we as a gaming community should just worry about things like Cyberpunk coming out, like, oh my God, it's amazing, and not worry about, well, I better have exclusive content on Xbox or I'm not getting it. You know, it's like, come on, who cares? Mm-hmm. Yep. Just enjoy the great games, and that's it.
And make sure to hit up Paris Vicious696 on Twitter. Yo, let me tell you, I haven't said a word, and people are replying to me mad. They're replying to Paris. Paris replies. I don't. I'm like, you know what? I'm not wasting my freaking time, man. It's just too much, man. It's like, come on, man. We're having fun with this, man. We're having a conversation. That's all. We're having a conversation. I don't get butt hurt just because somebody else has like a different opinion about things, man. Whatever.
It's about getting caught up in your feelings. It's about getting caught up in your feelings for a product you love. And I get that. It's acceptable. I mean, it's human nature. But to criticize or to razz or insult people because of their choice, their decision, their opinion, mm-hmm. it's childish. You know? Yeah, like Paris said.
It is.
There's grown adults in their feelings, you know, on Twitter, like just slamming keyboard keys in protest and in argument. Is it worth it at the end of the day? Is it really, truly worth all that anger and vitriol and energy that you're just pushing out? Nah. Let people enjoy things. Yeah. That's it. That's the bottom line. Let people enjoy what they want to enjoy. If it's not for you, fine. Move on. Find something else that you do enjoy. Or go.
Yep. By the way, I know you guys got this too during E3, but I just found mine's Xbox Game Pass. I already have the year 12 months code, so I'm going to use this and try it out. This is going to be my first time trying it out and stuff. I know Paris been using it now for a couple months, I believe. And Pete, you tried it for 2 weeks? Like you had a free
I tried it for before? A month. I honestly knew, I said I was going to remember to cancel it, and I forgot, so I had Game Pass for 6 weeks.
Just had it the whole time.
But you know what? At the end of the day, it was a $10. But it was a $10 investment to have Game Pass for 6 weeks. If you think about it, 60 cents a week, or whatever the number comes out to.
Yeah,
it's fine.
It's I'm the okay future. It's the future. And I'll just say again, you know, thanks to some generous people in the community, they had already given me 2 years of Game Pass. So I've had it, you know, for a couple months now. And then like at E3, they actually gave me two more Game Pass codes. I kept one. So I have 3 years of Game Pass now. And then the other one I gave away on Twitter, but, it's the future. It absolutely, we've talked about this before, games as a subscription service is the right play. Xbox is going down the right path doing this. We're seeing EA now about to start doing it with Origin on the PC. We're eventually going to see Nintendo and PlayStation do it as well. We've talked about this before, but I love the concept of it. And the fact that like now I know for the next 3 years, the next Gears, Halo, all that stuff, I don't even got to think about it. I own them already because I have Game Pass and I will be able to play them. And that's a great thing. And like I said, $10 a month is more than worth the investment. You go on Game Pass right now and see all the games that are available on Game Pass right now. It is worth the investment to spend $10 a month on it. Not to mention, you know, like when Forza Horizon 4 comes out, I already got it. Day and date. I can play it. It's great. On my PC too, if I so choose. You know what I mean? That's where this stuff is going. And I'm very excited about it. And that just goes back to the conversation we're previously having. You look at what Xbox is not there yet because they got to build up the first party exclusive content. But the services are there, and they're using Game Pass as the flagship to promote all this stuff. And then when those new studios that they acquire start pumping out these games and we start seeing sequels to some of these games that you're actually excited to play, you already know you have them because of Game Pass. So again, that's going to give people an incentive. Do I invest in a PlayStation or do I invest in an Xbox where I know for $10 a month, two retail games a year, by the way, I have all this content available to me.
100%.
Just, you know what I'm saying? So trust me, I'm all for this. And I really hope that Sony is looking at this and taking notes. And by the time PlayStation 5 comes out, they do something similar. And all these PlayStation 4 games, make them backwards compat. Make them a part of your subscription service so that someone picks up a PlayStation 5, they get the subscription service. Now they have Uncharted 4, Last of Us 2, and all these amazing PS4 games available to you day one.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, let's talk about, I know it's part of our topics here. I think this is going to be a great conversation, man. Is our favorite games of E3 2018. And also we're going to talk about our biggest surprise also from like E3 and stuff. So who wants to be first? Who wants to be first?
Well, I think we might as well take Cyberpunk out of it because we all think that's the greatest. That's just too easy to say that was the best game of E3. I would say for me, best game coming out of it, and it's also my surprise too, so I'm cheating when I say this. No, actually, no, it's not the best one. I'll leave it as my surprise. I would say best game coming out of this, and I'm taking Division 2 out of it as well because we talk about it so much, is probably Metro. I got to see Pete's interview. I saw some other people's interviews. I've watched some videos online. I'm very impressed with what 4A Games is doing with that. And I'm a huge Metro fan anyway, so I've already been highly anticipating this and just looking at what they're doing with the world, because they're basically going open world with this as well, where you can go tackle any objective whenever you want. That excites me because I think that world of Metro deserves to be explored and deserves to be fleshed out. My only concern about the game, and it is a concern about the game itself, it's about its launch date. It is literally, it's going into the death lineup, the death date of February 22nd, where there are so many other games coming out that people are going to be competing to actually competing for our dollars, you know, and play time. So I hope it doesn't get lost in the shuffle with that, but just my own individual, because I know I'm going to pick it up and play it. Absolutely, I'll be there day one for Metro. And my surprise game would be Forza Horizon 4. But, you know, I've liked Forza. I like Forza Horizon 3, but actually playing Horizon 4 at the Xbox showcase and then doing that interview as well and looking what they're doing with basically the open world for Forza Horizon has me kind of excited. The fact that the way the weather is going to seasons, I should say, is actually going to change how you drive in the game. And the fact that, yeah, the driver tires are still going to be there, but they're really emphasizing more human interaction as far as these races go. And I feel like this is that original vision of Burnout Paradise finally being realized to its fullest from what I've seen so far with the demo. So that would probably be my biggest surprise of E3 would be Forza Horizon 4.
So I'll mention this, Paris. I think you're right. Forza Horizon 4 is one of my biggest games, one of my favorite games that I got to see at E3 besides Cyberpunk. But I also will go with other games too that I think I'm super freaking excited for. Is Control from Remedy. Like I said before, I'm a fan of Max Payne, Alan Wake, Quantum Break, and I just love the story, just love the whole gaming experience, and the way how Remedy makes their games and stuff. Like, it will make you want to go back and play again and again, even if you finish the game multiple times. So Control is one of them that I just can't wait. Actually, on Tuesday, I'm planning to post an interview that I recorded, which is the same audio interview from the podcast, but this one is the video version. I already posted a short clip of it on Twitter, where I was talking to the game director, and I asked him a question about is it all connected, like the same universe and all that, all the games, and he was like smiling and very excited that I mentioned that during the interview and stuff. So that was very cool. So yeah, Control is one of the games that I'm so freaking hyped for that game. I can't wait to finally play it next year, man. That's one. Another game, I'm thinking, well, The Division 2, man. I think I think that's going to also be a big, big game once it comes out early 2019. And I'm never going to forget this, man. We're sitting down because actually they had the announcement on Monday during the presentation. But actually, we went the day before. We had a meeting with them, with Ubisoft. And, you know, we got to meet up with the developers and so on. They had a presentation about the game and stuff, and we sat down. Yo, when they said 8-player raid, I was like this, and I looked at Pete, and I looked at Paris, and they looked at me like 8-player raid. Yo, that was one of my favorite freaking moments, I think, at E3, man. When they announced that in front of us, dude, I had my mouth open the whole time. That thing was just freaking amazing, man. I can't freaking believe it. So, but then we got to, you know, we got to hear the presentation, but when we got to play, actually Paris was the one that played first than us. That was freaking amazing. I was like, oh man. It got me like even more hype than when I got home. I started playing The Division again, the old Division. So I can't wait for the beta. I can't wait for The Division 2 to come out early next year, man. I think it's gonna be freaking good, man. Super cool. And man, 8-player raid. That's the thing that I'm super curious. And shout out to all the websites that have been promoting our interview, man, talking about that there's going to be multiple raids in the year. And the crazy thing is, it's all free for the first year. All free. Amazing, man. Amazing.
I'm going to be the fanboy, and I know Danny said, and Bill Paris said, don't do it anymore. You know, we're not going to count it, but how do you not include Cyberpunk in that conversation? Like,
because it's already, we're already, everybody knows.
Look, everyone already knows. They're like, oh my God, they freaking love Cyberpunk. You know, it's like, pick something else.
Yeah.
All right.
Go for it.
All right. I'm not going to do surprise, because I think we're going to do that later. I want to say Anthem simply because, A, there's so much excitement. I don't want to say Division because, A, we've already spent enough time talking about The Division and so on and so forth. So we know what that's going to do. We've talked about it ad nauseum. We had multiple interviews while we were out there. Metro, I spent a significant amount of time playing, you know, got to go in there, got to meet with John, the executive producer at 4A Games. And I had a phenomenal time playing it. Now, I don't have a lot of game time going into the previous iterations of Metro, but watching the 4K, native 4K, they weren't doing HDR, but HDR will be there native day one when it comes out. Seeing the gameplay, seeing how they've adjusted the gameplay to fit where games are today and how it works was a lot of fun. So I think in that respect, the thing I'm going to say Metro, aside from the obvious ones, is going to be the one that, that was my favorite.
All right. So we're going to take a short break. Once we come back, we have more roundtable discussion here only on Gamer Tag Radio.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
What's up, everyone? Peter here. Wanted to talk about my favorite new thing. It's called Hunt a Killer. Shout out to the good folks at huntakiller.com for sponsoring this week's episode of Gamer Tag Radio. Want to be inside your favorite crime show or podcast and solve the murder like a real detective? Hunt a Killer lets you do just that. It's an interactive investigation delivered right to your doorstep each month. The wife and I have actually been doing this for the last couple of weeks, ever since we got the sponsorship package. And I got to say, it caught me off guard. I wasn't really expecting to be doing something like this. It's not really up my it's not really in my forte or whatever, but the wife is really digging it. She's really had a lot of fun. She got me hooked onto it, and I hope you guys will too. So what Hunt a Killer does is they deliver clues, correspondence, and other physical items that put you into the mind of a serial killer, right? You get to decode and investigate, and you get to unravel the case. We sat there, and it took me like an hour and a half to actually get the first clue. Had to sit down. I was literally out there with my laptop, paper, pens, like doing like you're literally breaking the code left behind from the killer. It's like living in your favorite true crime series. So if you like, you know, CSI, SVU, and all that, or whatever, SVT, what is it, SVU, I think, on TV? Yeah. So I'm a member, and it really actually puts you into the action of the investigator. It's unlike anything you've ever done. So like it's been featured in BuzzFeed, Washington Post, and things like that. Here's another thing. They've actually partnered with the Cold Case Foundation, and part of your monthly membership will actually go towards helping police departments catch real killers and close cold cases. So join me and tens of thousands of others by signing up for a Hunt a Killer membership at www.huntakiller.com. And if investigating isn't your thing, you might know someone who would love this as a gift. So to help support our show, they've offered a 10% discount on the first month for our listeners, but it's only available for a limited time. So go now to huntakiller.com and use the code GTR to get 10% off your first month. Huntakiller.com. Can you solve the case?
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Now, another game that I forgot to mention too that I'm very excited because I played the first one like crazy, especially online co-op, is Dying Light 2, man. You got to play that. You got to see that, Pete, Dying Light at E3 or no?
Yes, I did. I watched it with you.
Oh yeah, you were with me. I can't remember. Dude, my brain is like out of it, man. Because we went to so many like meetings that I totally forgot about that. But yeah, dude, Dying Light 2, man. I'm curious about it. You know, the presentation that they showed, it looks amazing. And plus, whatever you do in the game, it changes the whole world. The whole world that you're in and stuff. So I'm very excited to play that too, man. So another, thinking of other ones, man, surprises. I think indie game wise, there was a couple that got my attention. Is one of them is Tunic. I know that they showed that during the Xbox press conference. It has this Legend of Zelda vibe. Like Legend of Zelda Link to the Past, like that type of vibe and gameplay and stuff. So, you know, make sure to listen to our coverage on that, because I recorded the presentation. I asked them a lot of questions about the game, and there was other people there too that were asking questions and stuff. But, dude, the music is phenomenal. The design is really cool. The boss battles of this show, yo, top notch. I think it's going to be really good, man. So, you know, and it's coming out first on Xbox, and then eventually it's going to come out like another consoles, hopefully. But I know they did mention that this game is also going to be available on PC once the during the same time that it comes out and stuff. So that's one. State of Mind is another one that got my attention. It's going to be available for the Switch and also PC. It's all investigation type game and stuff. I love that. I'm thinking of another one too, man. World War Z. I actually got to sit down and play that game. Really cool. It has this Left 4 Dead type vibe. You could play full player co-op online, and there's a lot of enemies. That game was a lot of fun to play. And those were my biggest surprise, man. biggest surprise for you during E3? Paris, what about you, man?
Oh, I thought I was on mute. I'm not on mute.
Okay, there you go.
Again, my time was so limited. I didn't really enjoy We Happy Few. I also had that interview as well. I think that has a great opportunity to be something special when it comes out later this year. Another one I got to play was Ori 2. I almost feel like everyone knows Ori's going to be great. But Ori 2, I mean, I'm actually surprised that's not coming out till 2019. I really thought that was coming this year. Another one is obviously the Cuphead 2 DLC that'll be coming out. This isn't indie, but again, it's more just DLC just to continue a great thing is the Donkey Kong and Rabbids from Ubisoft. Mm-hmm. Very excited for that. We didn't get any real gameplay of it, but Beyond Good and Evil 2. I mean, you know, they're risking going down the Death Stranding route because we still don't know what the hell it is. But I'm excited that that game is being worked on and will become a thing. But yeah, I think it's about, well, this is an indie game. But another one I think we should all be getting very excited about is Spider-Man coming September. Just it's going to be phenomenal. And then I think that's it for me. Oh, you know, another one we've not talked about because they really have only shown the trailer at the Xbox thing. But I think they're going down the right path with it is Gears 5 because, you know, new protagonist. I'm blanking on her name right now. She was in the first in Gears 4, but to focus on her instead of the Phoenixes and make them background characters, I think is the absolute right move for them. Not to mention it's a female protagonist, which I think we need more in gaming anyways, but it looks like, and the fact that it's coming in 2019, that'll be 3 years since Gears 4. Right. So I feel like that's enough time, you know, properly got a proper development cycle. They can get a compelling story in. Let's see what they do gameplay wise with it. But what they showed at the Xbox press conference has me very interested for what Gears 5 potentially could be when it comes out next holiday. So I think that'd be it for me.
All right. So to go back to the best of show for me, forgot to include Fallout 76. So apologies to the folks at Bethesda. Surprises. Overcooked 2. I mean, you and I, Danny, we played. Me, you, and Wayne almost started throwing hands in the Nintendo booth because that game will test relationships.
Amazing and very challenging. It was so good.
Very challenging. Challenging. Yeah. We had a good time. Shout out to Eddie for hooking it up and letting us go upstairs Nintendo in the Nintendo arena. Ghost of Tsushima from the Sony press conference. I know Paris has some concerns with the gameplay because of the AI and your who you fight and stuff like that. But I thoroughly
go back
enjoyed
to what I said on the podcast. No, I
is
said
my talking. Is I my said time.
It is still
reclaiming my time,
in,
Paris.
It is still in progress, and those things can be fixed. That's what I said. Makes sound like I'm crapping on a game. That's not what I said.
This is my time, okay? Let me reclaim well, my goddamn time. Represent me correctly then.
If you're gonna put if my name coming off your lips, it better be the truth.
Anyways, Ghost of Tsushima. I enjoyed it. I'm guilty for enjoying a hack and slash, and that game seems like something that's gonna be right down my rabbit hole. Another one that really surprised me, was not expecting it. Demon X Machina for the Nintendo Switch reminds me a lot of Zone of the Enders and things like that. I love me a good mech game, so I really enjoyed that, especially, and I know it's all CGI. It wasn't true gameplay, but hell, it made me feel like I was watching Macross and Robotech again as a kid, so I enjoyed that. Starlink. I finally got to see Star Fox in a game. And it was so much fun. Surprisingly, not something that I was expecting to go in and be like, woo, but I had a lot of fun. I got a good time. I had a good chance to play both the Xbox One X version as well as the Nintendo Switch version. And I was curious to see how having those little mods that you put on your physical controller, you know, similar to Amiibos and stuff like that. But seeing that work on the Xbox One and how you can mix and match little components on the fly and they literally update on the time, you know, on, you know, in real time. So as you're playing, you could pull off a mod, put up a new one, and boom, you're already back in using that new mod. So I thought that was really, really surprising and good. And I don't recall if you guys mentioned it, but I mean, Jump Force made me feel like a kid again, seeing all my favorites, seeing, you know, Dragon Ball Z and obviously, you know, seeing Jump in the title obviously is an homage to Shonen Jump. But yeah, that was fun. A lot of fun.
Yeah. So I really want to talk about this because we're going to wrap it up almost. But behind the scenes stories, man, I want each of us to have like one funny moment or anything cool, interesting. What about E3?
Don't put me on the spot. I'm not prepared for this.
I have one that, yo, I was freaking dying. So during E3, you know, I had to split up with Pete. You know, during the week, you know, we split up like different meetings and stuff. And sometimes we got together to do interviews or certain meetings and stuff, or go to presentations and stuff. So one of the meetings that we had to go, I believe it was on a Wednesday morning, because I left. I had to do my own thing. Pete had to meet up with to interview, I think, Metro, the new Metro game, right? So usually we have multiple mics, right? So I had an important meeting that I had to record, right, using both my mics. Pete went to the meeting, and he only had one mic. So usually when we do interviews, you know, sometimes me personally, because I learned this from the past, I will like ask a question. I'll pass the mic to the person that we're interviewing, right? So I don't know what happened. I think Pete never mentioned this to the person he was interviewed during the Metro interview. And if you watch the video, which we're gonna premiere tomorrow on Twitch, make sure to tune in and stuff. Yo, you see Pete holding the mic. The guy is just sitting there, like I think he's is it game director or producer, Pete?
Executive producer. His name is John.
Executive producer. Yeah. Wow. So sorry. That's like crazy background noise in here. So he's sitting down there. He's planning like, yo, I'm not holding the mic. So P is holding the mic after 28 seconds. Pete was moving his arm, holding it like this because he was getting so tired, man. And the thing was, the night before we had to go to like multiple parties. We went to the Michael Pachter party. And I think Pete went to Twitch. I went to Fortnite. So the next morning we were hurting, man. Yo, when I watched that video that Wayne sent us, man, of Pete doing this interview, dude, it was I was in tears. It was one of the funniest moments because Pete was it was 15 minutes of Pete going like this, holding the mic the whole time. And you could tell that he was losing strength the whole time. Freaking classic, man. Classic. I can't wait to show that tomorrow, man. It is so good. But the interview world was really good, man. So Pete, now you know, don't ever go to do an interview with just one mic, man. It's good to have two, man. So you can sit back, relax. You don't have to worry yourself. You know, hold the mic and stuff, man. So, yeah, there you go. That's one of my behind-the-scenes stories that I loved, man. LP, you have a lot of other ones, right?
Yeah, but I'm not going to go in and disparage my co-host with doing that. So,
yeah, wow. I was thinking the same thing. He was like, hey, I have a behind-the-scenes story. Let me go ahead and shame
me. Paris. Wow. Yeah. Paris, you have a lot of other ones. You have a lot of other ones.
Yeah, let me show you how to properly do this, Danny. I'm going to embarrass myself with behind the scenes story that happened at E3 instead of embarrassing one of my co-hosts and best friends and brother in the world like you just did. Okay?
I can embarrass myself. I have stories about myself too. I don't care. It was just
you
funny.
Do that. You embarrass yourself all the time. No, I'm just kidding. okay, so here's mine. Here's mine. Seriously, this is for me, it was an embarrassing thing. And obviously, it probably wasn't a big deal to the person, but it's embarrassing for me because it's not something that I normally do. So if you remember that, was that Wednesday night? Whatever night that was of E3, and we went to the ESA party, right? And we're going in the ESA party, and before I had even came in the door, you was going to be like, hey, I see Deej. He's like, Deej is over eating dinner, right? You know, Deej and Bungie. And, you know, I know Deej. I had already talked to him actually earlier that day. And, you know, I peeked my head in. He saw me and we're doing the whole, because we had the joke that we were going to fight at E3. So he's doing the whole thing. He's putting his fists up like we're going to fight. And then we started to go upstairs. And why I did this, I don't know. I decide, hey, let me go over there and go talk to him. Now, here's why it's embarrassing for me. He was sitting with two people I didn't know. They were in a conversation and they were there eating dinner, not at the party. They're eating dinner. And I walk over and I politely interrupt that. Hey, sorry to interrupt. I just want to come over and say hello. Indeed, you know, greeting me just fine. Or, hey, how you doing? And their food started to come like right as I'm doing that. And I panicked and I go, I'm sorry I bothered you. And I just freaking ran off. And I thought about this later. I go, you're a freaking idiot, Paris. Why would you interrupt anyone when they're eating dinner? Don't do stuff like that. That is dumb. So then I messaged him offline. I was like, hey, my bad. I'm an idiot. I shouldn't have done that, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, oh, it's no big deal. It was great to see you. But for me, that's just not something I do. So it like just so bugged me that I would do something like that. And that was my embarrassing moment of E3, that I interrupted Deej while he was eating dinner and and then I panicked and I ran away.
Yeah. But you know what, Paris, I think you just got excited to see Deej, man. Like you were even thinking about it at that moment, man. And after it happened, you're like, oh man, crap.
What are you doing? You know, yeah. Like, why would you do that?
Happens,
that?
Yeah. Common that sense hitting you after the fact.
Yo, because it happened to me too. We went to the JW because, you know, Pete was there waiting for us. And I'm there. Like, I see Pete. I see Nick from Epic. I see Albert Pinello. I see a bunch of people there. And I see Jackie. And, yo, I haven't seen Jackie in a long time. So she was talking to somebody. I'm like, hey. And I just went like this. Like, I hugged her. I'm like, hey, what's up, Jackie? Hey, how you doing, man? Like, to the person she was talking to. And Pete was like, damn, Danny. You know, they're having a conversation. You just came here and bum rushed their conversation. I was like, yo, at the moment, I wasn't thinking.
True story.
But after P mentioned it to me, I was like, damn, it's true, man. I think I messed up. I don't know why I did that for, man. And I apologize, of course. But she started laughing. She's like, ah, don't worry about it. But yeah, I think it's that at the moment, you don't think about it. It's just after it happens. Yeah. So, that was my embarrassing moment too, but.
All right, so I'm not going to shade my co-hosts.
Shade, man, I don't care. You can do that.
Nah. The embarrassing thing for me, and it was bad. So Khalif and I left the, I think it was the Xbox Media Showcase. We were heading over to the Ubisoft press conference, and it was like, it was still early. It was like, oh, you know what? Let's just grab a quick bite, and then we'll boogie out. He's like, all right, cool. So we stopped by Jersey Mike's. I got myself a number 13, the Italian, which is what I always do. We ate it. It was fine. Went to the Ubisoft press conference. Everything was good. We split off. I headed over to the JW because I think I had to meet up with you. And then next thing I know, I'm sitting there talking with Dan Hevia and Justin Reynolds in the JW Marriott and Nick Chester as well from Epic. We're just chilling there. Next thing
dropping
you know,
names
just,
all over the place.
You oh, because I'm trying. I'm trying to make up for Danny Shade here.
Oh, God.
So I'm having a good time. Next thing I know, the lights start going weird and I just start sweating heavily. And I'm just like, this ain't right. I ain't feeling good. Dan turns to me. He's like, hey, so what are you going to do? I was like, oh, I think I'm going to leave right now. I literally grab my phone, call myself an Uber, head off to the apartment. Man, I will never eat Jersey Mike's again because I exploded all over that bathroom. It was not a good night.
I got nervous, man, because P was like texting me, yo, I don't feel good, man. I got nervous. I was like, yo, P, okay, where are you? Because you got to understand too, man, because even Paris experienced this, I think, a couple times. One was at EA Play and the other one was at the Microsoft press conference. We were there, dude, and yo, we were there under the sun the whole time, man. You remember that, Paris? I got sick. So when Pete, what happened?
You have the uncanny ability of literally getting in the bus, putting on your seatbelt, and just running people over and then backing over them again just to make sure. You love to bring up other people. Well, Paris had this incident. What if I didn't want people to know that?
And I said me too.
Listen, make it okay.
I said me too.
Oh my God.
Because yo, it was so hot. It was so hot, man. Like I got sick. I had a crazy headache, man. The whole day. One was the Microsoft press conference. I think I tried to put my book bag on top of me, and it wasn't enough, man. It was just too hot the whole time, man. You know? Man, Paris, I'm not embarrassing y'all, man. Who cares, man?
See, Jesus Christ. Is look, look. It's not this is why. This is why I love Danny, because Danny don't care. He just don't care at all. He's like, ah, whatever. Just get over
zero
it.
Zero shame.
Yeah.
It's not even that bad. It's not that bad. Hello, you mentioned this on Twitter. You mentioned this on Twitter. Oh, my God. You guys are idiots.
But, yeah. Lessons learned. Don't eat Jersey Mike's in L.A. at E3.
Yeah. Oh, man. Woo. Anything else, guys, before we wrap it up?
That was, oh, no. Is there anything else you want to slander us with?
Yeah. I can't say anything. Godfrey has zero shame, zero class. Oh, man. What's up with that, man?
Godfrey is Dominican for slander.
Hey, man.
I will say, before we end the proper show, that even in my limited time at E3 this year, I mean, it's a reminder of why I love going. The people. It's the people. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely the people. It's the games are great, whatever, fine. I obviously, you know, that's the whole point of being there. But I love going is just reconnecting with people. Or like there was here's another one. So when we're at the Ubisoft showcase and you got, I forget what was going on because I was literally waiting on you guys for something. I think Pete, you were doing Skull and Bones interview or something. And I'm literally just sitting there. I'm just sitting down, not bothering anybody, just sitting. And all of a sudden this guy comes up to me and he introduces himself and he knew me. And I didn't know him, but he knew me. And listen to Gamertag Radio, love all, like he knew all three of us, love the stuff we're doing. And we wind up just getting into this long conversation just about gaming and podcasting and all this stuff. And it was awesome. And those are the moments that I love where you just meet a random person at this event and you can just have these conversations that you're not going to have in your everyday life. But we both come from the same point of view on these kind of things. And we understand the industry and just to have those conversations. And you know, we follow each other on Twitter and all. I see, unlike Danny, I'm not going to put his name out there because maybe he doesn't want to be out there. But, you know, now we follow him on Twitter and I'll see him at E3 next year. And he'll be this is my best friend. You know, that's what's awesome about E3. It's just all the connections that you make with people. And I love it, you know.
Yeah.
And I suggest anyone that gets the opportunity to go to E3, take advantage of it at least once. You won't regret it.
Yep.
Unless you're the public. Sure. Unless you're the public, because then I get anxiety and I run.
make sure to block Paris in line. Like, nah, man, you're not. I'm ahead of you, man. You can't come through.
let me say this again. Real talk. Because I've been talking about this on Twitter since E3, mm-hmm. and I've mentioned this in the past. You may look at me, you may hear me on this, you may be watching me on Twitch, and you will never think this, but I suffer from social anxiety. Bad. Really bad. And over the past few years, I've made the effort to try to get over it. It kicked in a couple times when I was at E3, but I just kind of back away, take a deep breath, and get over it. I bring this up because, like, I brought up the Deej story. That was a moment where I was getting over my social anxiety and then I did something dumb and then it just kicked right back in again. I'm like, oh, why did you do that? But I bring that up because it is a real thing that I know a lot of people suffer through. And I try to talk about it because that's what helps me get past it. You know, old Danny, the exposer has been a great help with me over the years to get over it because he's always encouraged me to, you know, you got to get out there. You got to talk to people. You got to shake hands. You got to kiss babies. You got to do, you know, the Bonnie Ross things, all that. And I joke about it because it's fine. But that Bonnie Ross thing was obviously a big help for me because that was like peak social anxiety for me. And I look back at it now and having that conversation with her really helped me to get over it. But I bring it up because I know I'm not the only one that suffers from it. And it's always going to be a work in progress with me. And just when you think you're over it, it kicks back in. But the suggestion I give to anyone is take a step back, take a deep breath, and realize the person that you want to approach or talk to is just a person just like you. And they may be just as nervous as you are. And that's the one thing you got to realize. We're all just people. You know what I mean? And sometimes you got to be the one to make the first effort, because if you don't, you may never talk to that person. Just like I said, I was just sitting there at Ubisoft and this guy came up and started talking to me and we wound up having a great conversation. And there were instances where I was like, hey, I'm Paris Gamer Tech Radio. Hey, like your stuff, da 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 da. And we had a conversation. Like, I'll even give you another awkward one. This was at Ubisoft. So Julian, the creative director for the Division 2, I'm in the bathroom washing my hands and he's in there. And I don't like to talk to people when I'm in the bathroom because I think that's weird. And he started talking to me in the bathroom. And so I had to say something back, you know. But it's like you have to get over those things. You just have to understand we're all people and try to make yourself as approachable as possible, you know, because you never know what great conversation or what great person you will miss out on because you're all up in your own head, you know. Take the risk. Even if you get rejected, understand that 9 times out of 10, you're not. But even if you're just introducing yourself, just be respectful. Say who you are, shake a hand, whatever, and go from there. That's just my E3 PSA for the day, because like I said, I suffer from this all the time and I really have to mentally just push myself through it to get past it.
Yeah, on Thursday, I'm planning to post this recording. It was during our flight back from LA to Miami. I was talking to Yami. She's the founder of the website called Twinfinite. So we talked a lot about, you know, about E3, your favorite games and all that stuff. And once we were finished recording that, because we had two gamers, I know, behind us, and they were just looking at us the whole time. And then we started playing Mario Kart during a flight. And the guys behind us were like, hey, can we join in? I was like, sure. Yo, so we had like a multiplayer, a local multiplayer a match during the flight to Miami. It was so cool that a lot of people that were sitting around us was taking pictures so they could send to their kids like, oh, man, look at these people playing Mario Kart during the flight and everything. And I got to meet the guys behind us. They run a Nintendo website that's pretty big too. So I can't remember the name. But yeah, now we exchange contacts, and hopefully I could have them on our podcast. Cause they, you know, I told them, oh, we'd love to have you on so we could talk more about what you do and talk more about like Nintendo stuff. So that's coming out in the future. But this Thursday is my roundtable discussion with Yami about E3, and it was recorded during our flight back to Miami inside the plane. First time I've ever done that in my life. So pretty cool. Great, great conversation. That's coming out this Thursday. So stay tuned. Pete, anything else before I wrap it up?
No, just again, to reiterate what Paris was saying, and I think I posted this on Twitter and on Instagram and stuff like that. One of my favorite parts of E3, aside from the hands-on and the sneak peeks and stuff like that, is hanging out with people, man. Like that first night when we were at Yard House, you know, our yearly haunt, we go to Yard House, and it was me, it was the three of us, Brian from Warner Brothers, really good friend of ours, Truth and Justice, Andrew from the show Radio, Hevia showed up, Stone, you know, it's like seeing that meeting place of being in that meeting place of just hanging out with friends, you know, and it's so much fun. And it makes going to E3 with the stress and struggles of running and making it to appointments, making sure you have, you know, interviews lined up and so on. It makes all that work worth it. That on top of going to, you know, obviously every year, shout out to Michael Pachter for always, you know, looking out for us and making sure we get in there. You know, it's those events where you get to sit down and hang. Actually, well, at the Pachter party, nobody's really sitting down, right? But it, you know, it's a good opportunity to come in and once a year be able to sit there and hang out with your industry brethren, right? Whether it be, you know, seeing Brittany and Andrea Renee, whether, you know, just everybody that we normally talk to on Twitter, you know, it's finally good to have that face to face, that hug if it's available, the dap, the head nod, you know, the wink. It's those are the highlights for me, you know, and I know I don't mind my social awkwardness or anxiety may not be as bad as Paris's, but I do suffer from it as well because I just don't want to interrupt or bother people. You know, I don't want to have that instance where I walk up and I'm like, hey, what's up? How you doing? And they're like, who? And I'm just like, eh, thanks guys. Bye. I feel bad. You know, I fall back into high school Pete. But it is good to go out there and just, you know, shake hands, say hello. And always, as always, see you two knuckleheads.
Definitely, man. All right, so head over to GamerTagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback. Also, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. Make sure to also support us. By the way, thank you to every listener that's been subscribing on Twitch, that's been sending us donations, that's been buying t-shirts on TeePublic. Make sure to go there, store.GamerTagRadio.com. Let me tell you, that all the money that we got so far from that, it helped us big time during the E3, because you know we had to, you know, because we were kind of far from the location we had to go, and we travel a lot for like other events outside of the LA Convention Center, so we were using like Uber and all that stuff, so that helped us out big time. So thank you so much for the support. Every time you subscribe, donate, buy t-shirts or merchandise at TeePublic, that helped us out big time, man. So thank you so much, man. Thank you so much. And that's it. We're going to wrap it up here. Until next time. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. If you'd like to donate and help us out for future events and more coverage and also better audio equipment, head over to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you.